All right, everybody, welcome back to Cocktails with Kia and Friends. It is season 7, episode 7, and we have a special guest tonight. We have licensed therapist, Miss Alicia Brown. Hi, Miss Alicia. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And so what we're going to do is a part two. A couple of episodes ago, we recorded our response to Keita Rose's video that she dropped. She is a very well-known social media influencer, right? And she gets these engaging conversations going about, you know, mental health, relationship disparities, et cetera, in the Black community. So this one is specifically about trauma responses and relationships. So we're going to do a part two with Miss Alicia backing us up with the therapist point of view. So we're going to ask her questions about what she thinks, well, about what she knows regarding trauma responses, et cetera, in relationships. I'm sure we have all dealt with it in some sense or form, or at least have witnessed it. Definitely a necessary conversation for the community. So it's me, the main host, Kia, as you know, and then we have our dear co-host, Tutu.
Hi, everybody.
Hey, love. We have Shay Bay. Hey, boo.
Hey.
And we have April. Hi, April.
Hello.
Hey. All right. So just to remind you before we get started, our first book signing and cocktail soiree is November 4th in Pompano Beach, Florida. Invite only, okay? We'll be sharing the Eventbrite because there is limited spots available. So you have to reserve your spot in a private location. Will be released a few days before the event. So November 4th is the event in Broward County, Florida. It's going to be fun. It's going to be signing of books. There's going to be pictures, food, drinks, and a live podcast segment. We cannot wait to see you guys there for our first event. So excited for that. It'll be going to be great. Okay. All right, so let's go ahead and get started. All right, so the video, guys. All right, so this is part two. So we could just really just jump into Shay, do you mind kind of reiterating what the video was about briefly that Keita Rose dropped?
So Keita. So Keita made a video pretty much talking about how we respond to issues in relationships. And she took it back to possibly being triggered from things in childhood. So she was more so also defending and talking about the people that say, oh, well, you know, you have to be careful about who you choose, and you have to want, and you as the receiving partner should want to know if your partner has these triggers from a particular experience, whether from childhood or adulthood or whatever. So we spoke about that intensely in part one. So right. Now we have a licensed mental health therapist to help us help y'all work through those issues.
Yes, absolutely. Oh my God. Thank God for therapists, right? Like, exactly. You know, it was such a taboo, like, I'll say like 10 years ago, like to say, thank God for therapists, at least for me, personally for me.
I agree.
I was a taboo. I was just like, ain't nothing that wrong. You know, my mama say, read the Bible and I'll be fine. So thank you for being here, Miss Alicia. So regarding that, so what's your overall take before we get into like specific questions about that video, that conversation?
So I definitely think that your past definitely shapes who you are, right? It kind of shapes who you are as a person, who you are as a partner, a husband, wife, whatever it is. It kind of makes who you are today. So those things definitely show up in your relationships. They show up, you know, certain characteristics of who you are. And it also shows like how you treat other people.
I agree.
Yes, agree. So,
Yes. So I'll ask the first question. How does one, Alicia, identify their triggers or what could be a triggering action for them? How does one identify that about themselves?
I could start with definitely self-reflection, right? You have to self-reflection and like mindfulness, they kind of go hand in hand, right? So one has to be able to like identify certain situations that they've been in, certain events that they've experienced, and be able to under identify like how that has impacted them emotionally, physically, mentally, cognitively, right? Because those experiences shape who you are, they shape how you think, they shape how you feel. You have to pay attention to some of those patterns as well. And maybe some of the commonalities of situations across the board. But then you just want to be mindful of like the give and take relationship of those events, right? What has that event given me and what have I given that event? And like, how am I now categorizing that in my, head or my brain or my emotions, et cetera? Like, how am I categorizing that to kind of be mindful of how this might show up in other spaces? So, for example, if you've been, in situations where you have a very hard time trusting, right? Like, so for some people, maybe their first break is their parents, right? Mom, dad, et cetera, right? You have a very hard time trusting. That might show up in your relationship as you. Maybe constantly doing things because you don't trust that the other person is going to complete whatever it is. So you just automatically do it. So that could be an example. What else can be an example of like a trigger in terms of like self-reflection? Another thing too is like the way you communicate, right? That's a big one.
That is a big one.
The way you communicate, a lot of people have learned behaviors of communication. And what that means is you've seen mom and dad yell at each other and you thought that that works. So you do the same thing. Or you feel like you have to raise your voice in order to be heard. Right. Or you feel like I just shut down and I never really give it another chance or I never really explain anything to this person. And you think that that's communicating. Right, I shut down, they should automatically know. It's like, no, that person doesn't know. They're not a mind reader. So communication is one of those self-reflective kind of mindful things that we have to kind of be aware of and how that shows up in our relationships. I would also say just feedback. I'm quite sure like people have told you like you've affected them in some way, shape, or form. You've impacted them in some way, shape, or form. You have to be mindful of like how that continues. Right? This person
Basically
told you
listening.
that this is exactly listening to that, right? Like this person told you that your tone of voice is triggering or reminds you of something from their past. You know that that is now like a trigger for them, right? And you do it intentionally.
So yeah,
Or
people
this
doing
person,
that. That's
they
crazy.
do. They do. They definitely do.
Petty.
I think I think a good thing too is like sometimes we have a very hard time articulating to other people how we're feeling about things or what's a trigger for us. So something that I kind of always tell all of my clients is write it down. What are your thoughts? What are your emotions? What are some of your behaviors? Because if you can't convey this to yourself, you can't convey it to someone else. You can't. It's going to be impossible for you to tell somebody else how they've impacted you if you can't tell yourself how you were impacted.
So basically, what you're saying is if you have a problem expressing yourself to others, basically journal it down, write it down. At any point, should you read it back out loud to yourself, or just writing it down should be enough?
You should definitely read it to yourself.
Okay. Wow.
You should definitely read it to yourself. I think sometimes too that if you do this like right after a triggering event, it might be emotionally driven versus logically thinking like this happened. Is there a different perspective for this? Is there any evidence to prove that this is true? Because we all know like that could be us standing at like, we witnessed God forbid a car accident or something. All five of us are going to have five different perspectives on what happened. Right. Even though we were all there at the same time, our perspectives of things are going to be different, right? And it's not to say that one is more valid than the other, it's just how we kind of viewed it. So you kind of want to do that self-reflection piece after you write that journal, where you kind of read it back and you're like, well, could this, you know, be looked at a different way? Is there any evidence to prove that this is true? Is there any evidence to prove that this is false? Is this only emotionally driven? Am I taking out actual, you know, evidence that proves logic or proves fact, right? Because sometimes we react to things versus responding, and that could be two totally different, you know, responses to something if we don't necessarily sit back and analyze how we're feeling about this. So I definitely encourage you to write it. Look at it the next day and the following day, especially if your emotions are heightened, right? If your emotions are at a 10 and you go back and read it and your emotions are at a 9, you're probably going to feel the same exact way in which you wrote it, right? But if you go back and maybe your emotions are at like a 4, you might have a different perspective on it.
Love that.
Wow. I love that.
I definitely love that. So like what I hear also, and I feel like what I hear is, it's almost like that scripture verse where it says, be slow to anger, because it allows you time to process what you're really feeling versus being reactionary. Correct. Because when you do the action, you can't take that sucker back.
Thanks. Reacting and responding is two different things. Mm-hmm. Reacting is emotionally driven, mm-hmm. and responding is more logical. Like I sat back mm-hmm. and realized their perspective on something, my perspective on something, and then let's figure out a way to meet in the middle. Reacting is emotionally driven, where you're just only thinking about how you're feeling about a certain situation or a certain mm-hmm. person during that time. It doesn't take into consideration how they feel, what they're going mm-hmm. through, or any of those types of things. So definitely two different things, definitely two different responses to a situation as well.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you for breaking that down.
I mean, amazing breakdown, honey.
I try to do less reacting.
It's hard, you know, because we're human, for one, right? And then for two, it's like we've been doing things a certain type of way that shapes, you know, our perspectives of things. So it's going to be very hard to just kind of sit back and relax and then kind of, all right, let me analyze this a little bit more. Let me figure out how to respond to things. And it's okay. I think sometimes, and I've shared this before, but like, I think sometimes that we just speak on a fly. It is okay to say to someone, like, you know, if they send you a long message or something, like, hey, I have your message, I need a moment to sit on it. Or you're at work and your supervisor asks you, hey, you know, we need this, this, and this, and this. You don't have to give them an answer right then and there. Hey, can I give you an answer by the end of the day? Or tomorrow morning, I'll get back to you. Like, you do not have to answer certain things on the fly. And I think sometimes we listen to respond automatically versus like, let me see how I want to be involved in whatever it is that's happening. How do I want to respond to whatever is happening? And you can take a moment. There's nothing wrong with saying, give me 24 hours. Let me review this when I have more free time, et cetera. Or you can even say this. I recently just said this to a friend of mine, like, you know, I'm having some emotions that I need to sit on for a little bit, and I'll respond when I'm a little bit more calm.
That's definitely a work in progress for me.
That's a work, yeah.
Everything that you just said. I'm learning more and more that you don't have to always respond right away, because I think what it was for me is, as soon as I see a long message, I'm like, oh my God, they require an answer right now, because they just poured
the urgency.
Out to me. So I need to give a quick response so that they're not left waiting. Or if it's a message where there's a request, I'm trying to respond, like, oh no, I need to fulfill this person's request, or they're going to be waiting. So I think that's a work in progress, but thank you for that breakdown. I've been learning more and more to process then respond.
You're welcome. I think there's this unspoken for sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where is this coming from? Like, why is there this huge sense of urgency to respond or react to whatever it is that this person wants. You know, you're not there for someone's beck and call all the time. Sometimes it is going to take time to process what you're reading, what you're being told, etc. And it doesn't always warrant an answer like right then and there.
I blame you have a lot of people.
I blame my mama and my daddy.
Yeah,
but a lot like of people your parents. I do right away, so that's what makes it like you feel like the urge and the need to have to respond right away because right. Mama, if I said something. Get it done right now, right now.
And that's why I said I blame my parents. Because when I was a kid, we were asked a question, you didn't get the chance to really
wait around
think about what you needed to say. Mm-hmm. And they told you to do something, you had to. If I had to be told the second time,
okay, your head.
I'm thrown.
Physical contact.
So then I take that into my adult life.
Yeah.
College, get overwhelmed, focused, become in disarray, anxious, you know, like you have so many things that you have to do. Part of the reason why I don't like having notifications on my phone, I have to clear them. I don't like seeing them there. You know what I mean? As you're talking, that's what I'm thinking.
You're operating in a space of time, right? Like, I can't do this. Like, you're overwhelming yourself just by this idea that you now have to, as an adult, right, have to respond to something in urgency. Some of these things are not even urgent. They don't require an answer in 3 minutes or because they send you a long message that you have to respond right then and there. It's like, why are you operating in this constant fear of like, time is going to slip away and this person is going to be upset with me, or I'm not going to meet this person's needs, etc. Like, you have to prioritize you too in these situations.
I agree.
I think we have a lot of unlearning to do within the Black community because
she's preaching. Yeah, no,
she hitting it on the head. Like,
say that again. That is definitely,
You know what it is? We've learned, especially in Black households, that like we are to do as we're told and not as we like want to do. I was having a conversation with, you know, one of my other clients, and she was saying that like her stepchildren kind of says like 1 sec and it drives her insane. And you know, children are not Black, but their father is, and she's also Black, and she's just like, that doesn't fly in my household. Like, it drives me insane when they tell me 1 sec because I'm not used to that. Like, if my mom ever asks me to come wash dishes, I can never say 1 sec.
No. Right. What?
And I was like, there is a difference in, you know, the way in which, you know, different races raise their children, right? And what's the expectation? But that also puts a huge strain on us because we're taught that if we don't do something in a certain manner, we're going to disappoint our parents. And then there's going to be backlash because they're emotionally responding to these things, and you know, we're getting whoopings and all these other things. So unfortunately, we have to unlearn that. We have to unlearn that. Just imagine if you guys have children, and if you don't, just imagine like if you were a parent, and like just imagine how you felt as a child. Like, I'm doing this one thing, and now my mom wants me to focus on these things together, and like how that kind of plays into anxiety.
Yes.
And just imagine how that now transforms into an adult relationship, right? Your spouse or your partner tells you, you know, hey, I want you to do this, this, and this. And you're feeling this overwhelming plate. Like, your plate is overflowing at this point. You have no room for nothing else, but you're too afraid that you're going to disappoint them.
Yes, yeah, that's true.
Great.
All right, so let's, I'm saying, Ms. Brown, I appreciate you very
much. Yeah.
Okay.
We need it.
Our next question we do have is, how does our childhood shape the way we navigate through our relationships as adults?
I feel like we're kind of just I'll talk about attachment styles for a quick second. Attachment styles are pretty much like how you as a child attach to your adult caregivers or adult figures in your life, right? And how that influences your attachment to people in adulthood. That is a huge thing. right? Yeah. A lot of people do not have secure attachments, right? A secure attachment is a healthy relationship between an adult and a child, right? They didn't have that. So as an adult, they struggle with trusting people. They struggle with communicating with people. They struggle with letting people in. And they struggle with just who they are in certain situations. Like, who, what role do I play in this person's life? Right? Because at any given time, they probably think like this person could be taken away from them or that they could lose them, etc. So attachment styles is something that we don't speak on too often when it comes to how we're shaping ourselves or how certain things are happening in adult relationships. I would also say relationship expectations. What you saw for your parents is going to be totally different today in 2023.
I'm using a dishwasher. Your mom didn't have a dishwasher when she was I'm using a dishwasher, and that does not mean I'm a lazy woman. It just means I'm efficient right. with what's available, advanced technology.
And so, I'm snatching back my time.
Hello, always. I'm using every machine possible.
I hate to bring this up because I know this can stir a lot of people, but we now live in a world where people want traditional gender roles
and just had it.
But they're really one-sided. And I'll just use guy and girl, for example. You know, sometimes guys want a very traditional woman. If we're going off of these traditional roles, this woman is not working a 40-hour work week.
That part.
So we have to be more realistic about what our relationship expectations are from one another. Also, I think that sometimes in relationships, you find that one partner is relying on someone for so much that they can't even give themselves. Right? So you're expecting this person to do all of these things for you, but then you don't even do them for yourself.
What I say? Hey,
that's funny because
you don't do your own laundry, but I gotta do this.
I gotta do it. I'm obligated. We literally had a topic drop.
and for women too, right? Like, you want a man to provide for you. You want them to get your hair done, your nails done, your lashes, all of these things, but you can't afford to do that on your own. If this guy didn't come into your life and start like implementing, you know, finances and setting that aside for you to do this would not be a part of like your self-care routine, quote unquote, you know, like it wouldn't be. So we have to also be equally fair and equally yoked in this relationship with.
Yes.
One more time. Put the people back.
On that note, that is a great segue to our next question. as we said, we were just talking about the traditional roles this week. So our next question, in this current climate, the era of the independent Black woman, it's seemingly plagued us in dating. While many of us were taught to be able to take care of ourselves, how do we switch or how do we transition from this thinking to tapping into our femininity or allowing ourselves to depend on others or ask for help? Because, you know, it's independent woman, this and that. But how do we change into asking for help?
You know, I was just talking with like my marketing team, and we were like coming up with topics for the month of October. And I was like, you know, I kind of want to speak on this like independent woman and like having everything all set together, being like a right? This flex that like you have this hard exterior shell, right? Because I was talking about like, you know, this being a flex of like, I'm so independent, but it's like, really, I don't trust anybody with me. Right? I think as women, specifically Black women, we operate in this superwoman, strong, you know, hero cape on at all times stance. But in reality, we should be treated like we're fragile, like we have a big fragile label on us. And you know why? Because when something's labeled fragile, handle with care, we do exactly that. But when things are strong, we do like for instance, right? If you have an iPhone or, you know, an Android phone and you get that outer box, you will drop that phone plenty of times because that protector, that screen, I mean, that outer box is supposed to protect that phone. But if it was a brand new phone out the box, you're going to do everything you can to protect it because you don't want to break the screen. You don't want to crack it or anything like that. And I think that sometimes we are so afraid to be handled with care. Right. Don't always just kind of think that I'm this strong figure that's always going to have it all figured out. Sometimes I need to be handled with care. I need to be loved on. I need to be hugged on. I need to be told words of affirmation. I need to have things just done for me just naturally because you want to do these things, you know? I think something else too is to just be self-aware of like what it is that you do need. Again, it kind of circles back to what I said earlier. If you don't understand your own values and beliefs, right, about being independent or being, you know, relying on someone to provide for you, et cetera, how are you expecting other people to learn that about you?
Wow.
I want to make a comment to that. This just resonated really deeply with me because what I've realized as a pattern in my relationships, because I kind of am the nucleus, in a lot of my circles, mm-hmm. and in my relationship, in my romantic relationships, I don't really separate that. So I pretty much like am offering help a lot. Mm. Like, let me help you with your resume. Let me help you do this, that. Let me do this and that. Let me do this and that. And then it's like, I don't ask for help because I'm doing your stuff. I'm doing my stuff, right? And I'm looking at it as I'm not going to ask for help unless I'm starving. Like, I'm not going to ask you to help feed me unless I'm starving, not when I'm hungry, but unless I'm starving bad. I know I'm thank God for self-awareness. Right. But so then I realized like when a time would come where I would ask for help, it was like a big, what do you mean you need help? I cannot show up for you. I thought you could show up for yourself. And then that would be like I would say pretty much the downhill of the relationship, because now that it's coming to surface that I've carried us, and I would not think I did anything wrong, because I'm like, I'm only asking for help this one or two times out of the so many times that I've volunteered to help you as my partner, my mate, you know?
So two things on that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pause you for just a second. But yeah. I think the first thing to remember is that just because you're independent doesn't mean that you can't ask for help and that you can't embrace your femininity, right? And then two is that you can't always expect people to be Kia.
Yeah,
you can't expect that people are going to operate as you would. Right? While it would be nice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I volunteer my services just because I care. I want you to get that new job, so I'm going to help you do your resume. Or I know that you haven't had a break, I'll watch your kids, right? That's you. And sometimes you have to pull back on the amount of help that you allow other people to kind of, you know, utilize, because unfortunately you may not get that back in return.
Kia was just talking to me about something like that. I was just expressing something to her, and she was like, was, you know,
it was talked to me before.
Yeah. And I was just like, Lord,
circle us. We gotta just keep teaching one another.
I just have a quick little forgive me if it kind of like is a side note type question, because it's something that I say often. I know Kiki has heard it, April has heard it, Shay has heard me say, you can't expect you out of others, you can't expect the you out of, but why is it, even though I say that, why is it that we can give certain advice to our circle of friends, but then when it comes to taking that same advice for ourselves, it's a struggle?
So I would challenge you, if we were
good
in a
question. Therapy, that was going to be something I was going to ask. That's funny, but go ahead.
If we were in a therapy session, I would actually challenge you to say, why do you feel like you're not deserving of that?
Oh.
Right? Because when we tend to, give, and we don't expect other people to give to us. It's like sometimes we question whether or not we're worthy of that same action or that same effort, that same dedication. So what is it in you that you're feeling like you're not worthy of it, that you just feel like you have to just automatically accept it? And it's just something for you to think about. You may not have an answer now in a week or anything like that, but just start thinking about it. And then when you are in those situations, just be like, well, why am I questioning this right now? Why am I not feeling like I'm deserving of this? Why am I not feeling like I'm worthy of this? And see what comes up for you. I would also challenge you to like look at what your relationship looks like with yourself. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't fully understand where some of this is stemming from, it's probably also showing up in how you're treating your own self. What you're feeling like you're worthy of. And it might speak to why you're just accepting that, you know, this person can't give me that, so it's okay, it's cool, don't worry about it. Because we do that
too often. Not accepting your worth, yeah.
Yeah, we do it too often. It's like we let a lot of things slide that bother us, they impact us, but we don't say anything because that person's going through a lot, they have a lot on their plate. You're so understanding to everybody else, but then when it comes to you, you need that same level
of understanding.
Understanding of acceptance, etc. Like, you just have to.
Ooh, Lord have mercy. When I say, I got chills.
Okay, too.
That self reflection is huge.
It's
okay,
for real. It's so for real.
I wasn't ready. I'll be right back because the girls can tell you I'm not a crier.
You touched something. It's like we've
you know what you need to do.
Being in the middle of like repeating trauma, like we're accepting behavior that's traumatizing us.
It's traumatizing.
So it's like, and we're just normalizing. So you don't even realize you're eating.
You're perpetuating.
You're just eating the way that you do. Right. Ooh.
You're a part of the problem, unfortunately. You know.
Yeah, I'm gonna accept that. I'll accept it because I'm a big girl now. But if you told me that 5 years ago, I would have been like,
No.
Disconnect her from this call.
You know,
I will be honest with you, that reflection, like when you look in the mirror and you don't like what you see, you have to do a lot of work. Like I tell people all the time, like where I am today at 33 is very different from 23. Mm-hmm. And that's because between those 10 years, I've done a lot of self work, and I will never allow anybody to disrupt that. When your energy and aura doesn't match what I have or what I have to offer, I am very quick to just separate myself. No hard feelings or anything like that, but it's just the amount of work that I've done and the woman that I am today. I take pride in who she is.
Yes.
But how can you go about doing so without, you know, that person or whoever getting upset that you...
Oh, they're going to get upset.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like don't take it personal, but yet you're still taking it personal, but you got to understand.
It's going to be a personal thing. You know why? Because they're so used to you giving, that when you set that boundary of like, hey, you know, and you might not even say anything, but they can feel it, right? There's a different feeling now. It's going to be like, oh, she changing up. She different. Mm-hmm. Oh, something's off about you. You got attitude, this and this. But it's just like, no, actually, you've never really stopped to take me into consideration. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I have to prioritize myself. Sometimes we think self-care is going to get your hair done, your nails done, and all that. Sometimes self-care is literally you prioritizing yourself in these different situations where it's taking so much time, effort, and energy and dedication from you that you're never getting back in return from these people, from these situations, from some of your jobs.
To piggyback a question real quick that I just thought about, do you think that's why people have an easier time, or I don't know if it's an easier time, but they're having seemingly better relationships with new friends than with ones that they've had for a long time, because the new friends are meeting them after they've set the bound, after they've done the work and they've created those boundaries for themselves. And the old friends are doing what the old friends may do, what you're talking about. Oh, you moving different. Oh, you acting stank. Oh, you being funny. Blah, 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 blah.
100%. 100%. I tell people all the time, it is very common in life that you might outgrow your friends. Right? Like, I have one friend that I'm still friends with since high school. Like, close. We speak to each other. She's my child's godmother. Any type of business venture, anything, she's there to fully support. I have one really close friend from college. One really close friend from college. While I have associates from high school, associates from college, I mean actual close friend, but the majority of my friend groups are people that I've met in adulthood. When I finally knew who Alicia was, that's when I was able to make those connections and build connections and maintain connections with people. So it is, yes, you're going to outgrow some of your friends. Sometimes you and your friend might not even be in the same book, not even in the same chapter, not even on the same page. That is okay. That doesn't mean that you wish them any harm or anything like that. I want the best for you, but I think that right now you have to focus on you, because I'm trying to focus on me. And I think sometimes we feel like, oh, we've known them for so long that we should remain friends. It's like, it's okay that you've outgrown one another.
True.
I think that's something that, I don't know if it was taught. I mean, you know, you hear people, oh, you know, you have somebody for a season. But I think in our heads, we expected the season to be very long.
Long.
We expect some people to lifetime, you know, and it's hard. Friendship breakups suck,
or they do.
Separations,
and they hurt.
Mm-hmm.
They hurt. Sometimes we're so disappointed in some of these friendships, and sometimes it hurts more than like an intimate relationship.
Yes, right. Facts. Because they're sometimes more intimate with you
than the relationship.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, the ins and outs of everything happen. Like,
exactly, you know, all the
time. You know that I got an onion rotting in my refrigerator. Like, you know so much about me, and then. What?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah, you can outgrow your friend. What to do? Tutu stuff reflecting, y'all. I love this. I can't wait for our post conversation, Tutu. our traditional post conversation.
I'm taking it all in. I'm taking
it all in. As you should.
So,
yeah.
You want to ask the next one, Kiki? Or you want me to do it?
Yeah, you can go ahead.
So what are some, this is going back to the trauma responses. Mm-hmm. What are some practices that we can implement to aid us in reducing our immediate desire to function in our trauma?
I hear this often that like, oh, this is me. This is normal. This is who I am. Mm-hmm. Right. And it's like, no, you've learned to kind of live in your chaos, right? You've kind of learned to live in your trauma. You've kind of learned to accept your trauma responses and just kind of deal with them, right? One thing I would tell everyone and encourage everyone, and you can YouTube them, et cetera, like grounding techniques. Grounding techniques kind of help you to focus on the here and the now, right? Sometimes we get so caught up in our heads about the possible what ifs. What if this happened? What if that happens? What if they say this? What if they do this? What if they do that? And it's like, just focus on what's happening in front of you. We cause ourselves more anxiety than anything in certain situations. Ground yourself. Yes. Grounding yourself could be deep breathing techniques, different mindful techniques, just sitting with an emotion for a long period of time, meditating, which is very, very hard, by the way. But just focusing like on your five senses, right? The taste, smell, hear, see, touch. Grounding techniques are so useful. You could do them without people even noticing that you're doing them. And it kind of just helps you to kind of be in the here and the now, be in the present of like what's happening for your body, your mind, your emotions, etc. Self-care, prioritizing self-care techniques. If you find something that works for you, right, that brings you from a 10 to a 8 or a 7 or whatever it is, continue to do that every single day. I know that we hear the term practice makes perfect, right?
Yeah.
I always say practice makes progress. The more you practice something, the more it is easier.
Better you get at it.
Correct. Another thing too is to not only do these things when your emotions are heightened, right? You have a triggering response to something, right? And you have these emotions. You need to do them in the morning when you first wake up. You're not feeling anything. Clean slate. I'm going to dedicate 5 minutes of my morning to reflecting. I'm going to dedicate 5 minutes to some yoga in the morning or some mindfulness or whatever. If you want to journal, you want to read your Bible, whatever it is, you want to listen to some soothing sounds off of YouTube and just kind of zen with you. Do it in the morning. Do it after you eat lunch before you return back to your desk at work. When you come home from the evening, what is it that you need to do to unwind? I need to take a walk around the block while the sun is setting. I need to, you know, sit out on my porch and just maybe just disconnect. I'm disconnecting from social media, whatever it is. Whatever you do, you need to implement that into your daily schedule, not just when you're triggered.
I love it.
When you're triggered, you don't know how to formally use these things. But if you continue to implement them into your day-to-day living, right, you know when to implement it before you're triggered, right? Another thing that I'm just going to stress is if you are having a hard time navigating any of these traumas, seek professional help.
Absolutely.
We sometimes emotionally dump on our friends that has no idea what to do.
Right? I'm so sorry.
They're like fuel to the fire, right? Most of the time, our friends kind of agree with the majority of things that we say. Yes, we have friends that will call us out, but the majority of our friends agree with everything that we say. So it's not helping you. It's not helping you. It's not helping you. Seek professional help. There are trained therapists out here that could literally help you to break down the things that is happening for you. And then lastly, I would just say, lean on your support system. We hold a lot of things in because we're too afraid to be vulnerable with ourselves and with other people. If they see that I'm struggling, I'm going to be considered weak or I'm going to be considered less than, et cetera. It's like, throw all that out the window. If you need somebody, call them. Show up at their front door, whatever. Hey, I'm going to take a walk in the park. Could you come with me? Whatever it might be, lean on your support system. Just because you're going through something, which we all go through, right, doesn't make you less than or anything like that. So those would be my kind of, like, how to deal with that.
Ooh. I love it. That's great. Sometimes I also feel, and I guess this goes back to the way we grew up, our childhood, like, you know, you don't want to say too much. You don't want to air out your laundry. You don't want to. So hearing all these things, it is definitely reassuring. But at the same time, it's like, how do you know that you're not giving away too much or telling too much? Or are we just in our head when we tell ourselves these things?
We doing too much.
Again, it kind of goes back to like this emotional versus logical kind of thing, right? Sometimes we are in our head a lot. We are rationalizing the many, many different scenarios that we've gone through. It's like you have a conversation with somebody, then you're replaying that conversation. I should have said this, I should have did that, I should have did this, I should have stop. You said what you said. Unfortunately, there's no going back, right?
Hey, so me all day. Kind of
sit with what happened, and that's okay, right? You don't necessarily need to rehash another conversation to kind of go through all. No, just leave it alone. Leave it alone, right? Work on like how you would want to change and operate if that situation happened again. If this were to happen again or to occur again, these are the things that I would do to protect myself.
Indeed. Awesome.
Okay. I'm telling you, every time you speak, you just give me chills, but it's okay. I'm
telling y'all.
That's why people don't want to go to therapy.
This is why I can't. I'm telling you, like, I'm like, y'all should really try therapy. It's
yeah, pulling it on that.
It's pretty all right. It's pretty all right.
This is pretty ghetto.
I don't need no therapy. Yes, you do. I'm sorry. So,
all right, Miss Alicia. So we have one more question. It's about gaslighting. So gaslighting has been a hot topic for some time as we learn what it is and how it shows up in our conversations and relationships. What are some intentional methods that we can use to refrain from doing it? And how do we redirect when we feel we are being gaslit?
So first, I think it is important to define gaslighting. because I hear it a lot, and sometimes mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, that's not gaslighting, right? Gaslighting is like an emotional manipulation and like psychological abuse in which like one person seeks to make another person doubt their own perceptions, memories, or like even for sake, like their sanity. Like, did this actually happen? Like, you're questioning so much. This definitely shows up in relationships because people learn each other's little icks, right? I know that if I do this, this person will feel guilty and automatically kind of take the blame for it. I don't have to face that I hurt this person or whatever. So for one, educate yourself on like what these gaslighting kind of scenarios are. What are some of the signs, et cetera. You want to kind of know what that is. Trust your instincts, because sometimes we're second guessing ourselves a lot. And it's like, no, what you feel about certain things is your feelings. No one can take that away from you. No one can change that. Your feelings about something is your feelings. This is a hard one, especially in the Black community because of the way in which we were raised, right? Mm-hmm. But set boundaries. Clearly communicate what your boundaries are in relationships and enforce them when necessary. Boundaries are to help you protect like what your values are, what your beliefs are, and like what your must-haves in relationships are. Do not allow anybody to make you change your boundaries for the sake of them. Now, boundaries can change, right? Because again, what we may have tolerated in our relationships when we were in our 20s is going to be very different from our 30s, right? Or what we accepted at stage one in the relationship or year one in the relationship, we're not accepting in year five, right? Like things might change and that's okay. Like, don't allow anybody to make you feel like that is, you know, something that you shouldn't be doing. Or, well, you said this a year ago and now you're changing up. Well, guess what? I realized that that impacts me this way and I don't like it. So I'm changing it. And then also too, if you start like questioning yourself, you could seek validation from people. It's kind of hard to this one because it's like, yes, you want that from other people. You want to get that kind of perspective, but you also just don't want them to necessarily, yes, you, because you're their friend, etc. But sometimes you do need to ask other people, like, hey, like, am I bugging out for this situation? And then that's okay to kind of lean on your friends about and stuff like that. But those are definitely ways in which you can kind of stop yourself from, you know, kind of using gaslighting in relationships. So yeah, that would be my answers.
Oh, girl, it just went right through that. That was very thorough. Thank you so much, Alicia. I just actually have a question that just popped up in my head. Mm-hmm. How about having a partner who identifies their trauma triggers, right? Okay. So in a sense, it feels like, okay, you know you got trauma triggers, we communicate about it, but it doesn't improve. And then sometimes there's new triggers that surface you were not made aware of before. Mm-hmm. So they keep communicating. That's also a trigger for me. You're like, okay, adding it to the bucket of triggers. So we're going to keep going. My question is, because you feel there's a sense of, okay, we this journey can be healthy if we're going to heal. If you're helping me to understand your triggers and I, you know, learn how to navigate or how to deal with you with these triggers. But like, how can we really like resolve what's happening in this relationship, this set relationship, versus we're communicating effectively about the triggers, but then it's like, how do we move forward? Not saying these triggers would ever go away, because mm-hmm. that's not some, but how do we make this work where your 21 triggers don't surface every 5 days? Like, how do we make this work? Because I like that the communication is happening about it. At least they're communicating about it, right?
So I want to make sure that I understand you. So you're in a relationship with someone, right? They say that these 8 things trigger them, mm-hmm. right? And then every other day, a new thing is added to mm-hmm. the show. But then there's no changes around certain behaviors to prevent some of these triggers from happening.
Right. So okay. Yeah, is that, yeah, that. And then, you know, the someone's been confiding in me, right? God. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I love the fact that they communicate, they're open with their understanding. Pretty much they self-diagnose that they have these triggers. So they don't go to the therapy.
Okay.
Okay. But hey, these are my triggers. This is a trauma I've had from the past. I understand my behaviors now. This is what it is. And X, Y, and Z, this is that. It's like, okay, so every few, like, I keep learning more and more triggers about my partner. How, like, this is great. This is impressive that I have a partner that's communicating these issues, these challenges that they have, right? Mm-hmm. But how do we move past communicating the triggers?
So one thing that I would say is that person also has to work on these triggers. While they are apparent or they might show up in your life, right? That you still have to do some work to kind of heal. Mm.
Talking about it just ain't enough work.
Is not enough work. There has to be action behind that talk, right? Thank like, so for example, let's just use like tone of voice, right? Like if you're like, hey, you know, this person, like the way in which someone talks to me sometimes triggers me to feel X, Y, and Z, right? That person then has to kind of do some work to realize like what it is specifically about tones that is triggering them. And then what things could they put into place so that that no longer triggers them, or no longer triggers them as intensely as it did when it happens or when, mm-hmm. when right? Because there has to be some desensitization. I probably said that all completely wrong. Whatever. But there has to be some level of decreasing that trigger over time. So how you're triggered when the event happens, you shouldn't necessarily have the same intense emotion over time. If that makes sense. So on the partner's part, they have to do some work to kind of work through whatever is triggering them, et cetera, and how to kind of utilize certain techniques and coping skills to kind of manage that. Mm-hmm. And then on the other partner side that's being told that these are their triggers, right? They have to then kind of accept what is happening for them and then just be mindful of how they're operating in the relationship to kind of deal with, you know, and be mindful of, you know, how this person might react or respond because they're triggered.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then maybe they should even see couples counseling.
I mean, that's too easy, Alicia.
That's still saying you gotta go see a therapist.
Well, okay. Well, but, you know, I've suggested.
Not a lot of people.
Like, Therapy. Now you think everyone, therapy isn't for everyone. Tia, just because you thought therapy, it doesn't mean everybody. And I'm just like, I'm just saying.
Therapy is for everyone.
It's an outlet.
It's a mutual outlet, right? Yeah. Because your friends are going to know your side, their friends right. are going to know your side, and they're going to have these matching perspectives. But if you get an outside source that has absolutely no idea what's happening,
no bias, yeah.
It's a common ground of where they meet one another. Like I, for example, I have a couple or whatever, I see them every Monday. Last Monday we were talking about, you know, how they're very different, right? And how you can embrace those differences to work on your relationship, to improve your relationship. We get into these relationships and we're like, oh, opposites attract, we're so different. But then you want that person to be you. And it's right. like, no, just embrace that. embrace that part of each other. And they didn't even realize that they're trying to like get each other to do what each other would do. Where I'm like, well, why are you guys shying away from embracing those differences? That's helping you to build on your relationship. So you're going to find that your therapist can help you to then find that mutual ground and get better understanding of like what's happening for the both of you and why you're operating the way that you are. So, I mean, I say get a therapist.
100%. I'm 100% on board with that. You already know. Gosh, this was such an amazing segment. Alicia, thank you so much for being here.
Awesome.
Thank you. Your expertise, it's so ground, it's so down to earth, but like straight to the point. Like, how could you can't run from it. Where could you,
you
where
really
you gonna
can't.
Go? Where
you
are you
really
gonna go?
Because she was hitting it on the head and like,
where you going?
Like, you really got me reflecting on a lot of things right
and
now.
And then she got me,
because it's like, saying it before I can say
she
it,
don't,
yeah,
because she don't know
about.
You so you know
right.
She hit
it's
point.
Like you know you hit, yeah it's like yep. Okay so it's like come on now you gotta really like step your game up baby. Like stop playing.
Step your game up
but I will say this, like if you don't take away anything from this segment or therapy or anything, just remember that the most important relationship you will ever have is your relationship with yourself. It literally sets the tone for everything, who you are as a wife or a husband, as a child, a daughter, a son, as a sibling, right? As a friend, or who you just are as you walk down the street, right? The more you're confident in the version of you that shows up, the less you're going to take from other people, right? Ooh. Like the work that you're going to do to build who you are and to be happy with who you are, to love who you are, you're not going to let anybody disrupt that ever. Mm. Now, right now, that reflection, you might not like it when you look in the mirror, but the more work you do, you're like, yeah, mm-hmm, yep. I'm starting to love the woman that I'm becoming.
Yeah.
So.
Love it.
A little bit.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, honey.
You're welcome.
Like, thank you so much.
Thank you. Welcome. This was amazing. This was amazing.
Very informative. Like, y'all ain't take no type of
I can't wait to share this with the listeners. I cannot wait. I'm so excited. I cannot wait to share this with the listeners. Oh, I saw, Alicia, that you have a channel now.
Yeah.
If you wanted to briefly just tell us.
Go ahead and drop that information to the people.
So I think that like I pride myself on being a Black therapist. There are not many of us that look like me within the field. It's a very white facing field, right? So I feel like in the Black community, we don't have enough conversations around mental health. So my YouTube channel is to just kind of help create a safe space for us to just talk about different topics of, you know, mental health within the Black community. And hopefully we start kind of normalizing it and we all just join in on the conversation. So follow, it's with AliciaB.com. Stimulate.
Oh, definitely.
On Instagram, I'm with AliciaB. With AliciaB, TikTok with AliciaB, Facebook with AliciaB. But yeah, that's pretty much what my YouTube is about.
Okay. Hey, awesome. Thank you. We stand for that. 100%.
Thank you. Thank you. You are followed right now. But thank you so much. Thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming on our on our platform and sharing these nuggets. And yeah, I will definitely implement in my life. I'm sure our listeners can relate as well and implement in their lives.
Yeah. Good.
Absolutely.
Let me know if you guys need anything, any tips. I could drop some for you guys.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming, Alicia, and you have a great night.
Bye.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
And thank you so much for tuning in with Cocktails with Kia and Friends. This is the end of episode 7, season 7. And if y'all just need some time to just reflect, we understand. Just stay tuned for the next episode next week. We love y'all so much.